The Daily Ding is brought to you by Game Time, your new go-to app for the best deals on last-minute tickets. Did you know NBA ticket prices tend to drop right before the game starts? Game Time tracks prices in real time from thousands of trusted sellers, then shows you all the best last-minute deals with prices up to 60% off. More than 12 million fans have downloaded the Game Time app and discovered the fastest, easiest way to get into the game. Whether you need tickets for Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL, NHL, or concerts, you can find them all on the Game Time app. Checking out is simple. Takes two taps and you're done. So head to the App Store or Play Store now to download Game Time and score awesome deals on last minute tickets.
Welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Hey. It's going to be a great season. We're going to work hard every night. And let's get it going.
Everybody thinks it's kind of end of us. That's just not smart.
I can't even put into words my level of disgust, frustration, and beyond.
Toronto, Canada, we brought it home, baby!
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Wednesday morning. Happy NBA season opener. Nitz, it's finally here. I am Dave Dufour, your host, and I'm joined by Nitzan Bluvstein and Rob Lopez. What?
That was good.
Good. Finally got it right. And we got Rob Lopez producing the show. Coming up on today's Daily Ding, the Raptors avoid a ring night upset with an overtime win. Blake Griffin still on the mend. But first, Nitz, the Battle of Los Angeles, the first one that actually matters, and the Clippers win. 112-102. It's a Clippers home game, even though Kawhi got booed during the intros. Wow, that was fun. What a great game. I could actually watch five of those in the next 2 weeks. It's too bad it's not the Warriors and the Lakers in preseason. Kawhi Leonard, 30 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Lou Williams, 21 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. LeBron with 18, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Anthony Davis, 25 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Nitz, the story of this game, I think, was how bad the Lakers looked without Anthony Davis on the floor. Our notes, it says Lakers without LeBron. But the truth is, when Anthony Davis was sitting, they did not look good.
Well, Vogel did a pretty good job of staggering them kind of towards the second half. And the first half, when they were together, it was fine. They had a great first half. And then you're right, that second half, LeBron just didn't look good. So whenever he was sitting down, Anthony Davis all of a sudden would come alive and he would actually make his shots. I don't even know what to think about it, man. Here's the thing, and I want you to tell me if you agree or not. I'm not taking away too much from LeBron's performance during this game.
It
felt like a fluke. Like, it wasn't good. He was a -8 or something. He didn't make shots. He missed a layup. That doesn't look like LeBron, so I'm not going to take anything away from it.
Yeah, he had some uncharacteristic turnovers, I thought. And you know,
he had two in that fourth quarter, like really bad ones. Mm-hmm.
I thought the Clippers did a really good job of containing LeBron and Anthony Davis to a certain degree. I mean, AD was 8 of 21. That's not great. That's not the efficient, you know, sort of scoring night that we expect from him. And honestly, if Danny Green doesn't go thermonuclear in the third quarter, this game isn't even close. It's a blowout. Danny Green was 10 of 14 from the field, 7 of 9 from 3, had 28 points. I saw a stat and I forgot who had it, but 28 points is the most points by a Lakers player in their team debut ever.
What?
You're kidding. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who only had 27 in his Lakers opener. So a crazy night from Danny Green. Listen, everyone knows I'm the biggest Danny Green fan on the planet. I think he's a great player. You're not going to get 28 points a night from Danny Green. So they've got to figure out, you know, where they're going to get scoring from. Obviously, LeBron's not going to put up only 18 points a game on very many nights. We know that he's good for 25 to 27, you know, usually 7 rebounds, 7 assists. That's kind of the LeBron line. So we could probably throw this out as a fluky LeBron game, but...
But can we talk about Danny Green? You kind of made it sound like Danny Green's game was a little bit of a fluke, right?
Well,
he's not going to go nuclear. He's great. But You tweeted this, which is why I put it down in here. I want to talk about the very realistic fact that Danny Green, regardless of the fact of whether or not he goes nuclear every night, is probably the Lakers' best player just by the strength of his defense and consistency alone. Like, he doesn't need to shoot 5 of 5 in the third quarter. He right. just has to have like 70% of what he did tonight to be the third best player, right?
Correct. I think Danny Green is their third best player. It's pretty clear to anybody who's watched the NBA for the last few years. You know, there's a lot of people that want to say Kuzma, but he's just not there yet. But Kuzma is what they were missing tonight, though. They needed a guy that could come in off the bench and get them a few buckets. The bench scoring tonight was not good. They only got 19 points. You know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is just not going to cut it. And anytime these guys were like a non-Danny Green player guarding Kawhi was an instant bucket. And that's really where they're going to struggle. They really need another point of attack slash wing defender. And you know, they're going to make a trade. Like, we already know how the Lakers are going to operate this season. They're going to be able to go out and get some guy to help them out. But you know, they have to be a little bummed out about this first game because they didn't actually take one when they looked like they had a shot.
And without Paul George, exactly. Like, you're not hitting the panic button or anything, but you definitely have a lot of points for concern here. Or you know what? So you said the trade, everything's going to change. Another thing that's going to change in a couple of months is they're going to have some more time playing with one another. This Clippers team knows each other significantly more than the Lakers does. You feel like that's some of an issue of what we saw today and the fact that some of their plays were like confusing.
Right, absolutely. And then on the other hand, the Clippers got 60 bench points tonight. Incredible. Lou Williams, 21 off the bench. I mean, that is kind of what they're going to, that's been the blueprint for them. And that's kind of what they're going to expect out of him all year.
Hall of Famer Lou Williams. What?
And Pat Beverly's defense tonight, while I think overall he's kind of slipping on that end, he's a big game player these days. He was great in the playoffs. He was fantastic tonight. I mean, he was plus 13 and you know, you can only take away so much from single game plus minus. But you felt all 13 of those points from Pat Beverly. I mean, he was a pest. He was getting in on LeBron. He was getting in on AD. I thought he had a fantastic game.
So he had 2 points, but he was plus 13. He went 1 of 7, which is why, like, if you look at his stat line, it's a little confusing. But you're right. You felt everything that he did on that court. He got 10 rebounds. He had 6 assists. He's also a menace. Like, it might not show up on the stats, but, like, he is the number one guy you want on your team in terms of on that defensive end, right? But I wanted to bring out rebounding.
Yes.
Lakers should have won that battle, right? I'm not crazy.
No, I actually think one of my concerns for the Clippers is their lack of depth at center. I think that they're, you know, Zubac doesn't seem like he's going to be that great for them. Obviously, Montrezl Harrell is not very big. Not a great rebounder. He's active, but he's not going to go up and get you a lot of boards. I do think that they have a move to make. They're going to have to find someone that can come in and do something. But again, this is, you know, winning teams. They have these options. They have the buyout market. They have, you know, guys like Joakim Noah, who's sitting out there and might be able to contribute. And so I expect them to try to make a move to help them there. But you're right. I thought the Lakers should have killed them on the glass tonight.
Now, so in terms of that too, are we looking at the Lakers bigs and giving them some of the blame? And do you think at what point in the season are we kind of done with this experiment of AD not playing the five?
You know, tonight I actually thought Dwight Howard was fairly effective. I mean, even though he had 4 fouls in less than 20 minutes, I thought he looked pretty good. And I wonder if we won't see them shuffling him and JaVale in and out of the lineups, trying to figure out who's going to work best with AD and LeBron in the starting lineup. And JaVale was okay, but I'm with you. I think, you know, to be most effective, not only for Anthony Davis, but also for LeBron James, I think sliding everybody up, being able to play with a little bit more pace would really help this team out a lot. If you're like me, your parents don't pack your lunches anymore, but you still have to eat. Have your favorite restaurants brought to you with DoorDash. Brown paper bag not included. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app. Choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered directly to your house, wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code DING. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter the promo code DING. Don't forget, that's promo code DING, like the daily ding, for $5 off your first order from DoorDash. And in our first game of the night and of the season, the Toronto Raptors successfully defended home court on ring night. By the way, that ceremony was fantastic, and I kind of got chills, which is a little bit corny, but it was really cool watching Serge Ibaka and Kyle Lowry get those rings. But they beat the Pelicans 130 to 122 in overtime. I don't know what happened at the end of regulation, Nitz, but it ended with Norm Powell shooting a 28-footer.
I was so, so mad, as I feel like the rest of Twitter. I was screaming. I'm like, come on, man. Like, Lakers Clippers was starting, and this guy just shot the craziest Dame Lillard shot in the world.
He took that shot like he was still wearing his championship ring, which, by the way, the largest ring in NBA history. This game actually had history, Nitz.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Nurse becomes the first coach in NBA history to issue a coach's challenge, a very sneaky way to get yourself into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Worst line in history ever, but I want to see what you think about the coach's challenge. I know how I feel. Everyone can kind of tell by my tone. I don't like it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I'm not a fan. I'm okay with the officials not being perfect. It's part of the game. This, you know, I feel the same way about baseball. Like, I don't want robot umps. I'm okay with the human element. Can they do better? Certainly. Have we added video review, and has that made the game any better? I'd argue it actually makes the TV product worse. Maybe mm-hmm. it makes the outcome of the game better. But at the end of the day, it is an entertainment product, and you want people to enjoy their experience watching on television. I would rather be mad about a missed call or a blown call the next day and be able to argue with my friends about it, then sit there for 25 minutes and wait for these guys to hear back from Secaucus. I feel the same way about the coach's challenge. Also, this was a bad coach's challenge because it was pretty
terrible.
Clear offensive foul.
It was so clearly a foul. Like, right. They saw that in real time. They showed it in the replay. No one's doubting it. But that's what we're going to get with a lot of these. It's going to be stupid calls. I'm sure that there's going to be a time or two in the season where maybe we're happy that the coach's challenge exists, but I'm with you. I think that it just ruins the product a tiny bit more than it really needed to.
Yep. The big story coming into this game, obviously Zion Williamson out for 6 to 8 weeks with the procedure on his knee, the meniscus debridement surgery. But the Pelicans actually did okay without him. And I think a lot of people were surprised by that. They were playing with a lot of pace. They shot 19 of 45 from three. So they're out there actually getting shots up and making them, which I don't know if they're going to do it all year, but they did tonight. And it really helped them out and kept them in the game. Nicolò Melli and Josh Hart combined for 7 for 10 from three, 29 points off the bench. And that really was the difference between this game even making it to overtime, was those two guys coming in being effective off the bench. Pascal Siakam in his first game is the primary option for this team. 34 points, 18 rebounds, actually went to the free throw line 11 times, which is fantastic for him. But he fouled out, which is amazing because he had a terrible defensive game.
Yeah, not exactly the strongest thing you could have seen from Siakam, but I think that it's good seeing him come in this hot offensively. That's what they needed. This Pelicans team isn't exactly difficult to defend, no offense. So I think you got exactly what you wanted out of Siakam tonight.
Yeah, and Fred VanVleet continues to be hot since he had this kid. 34 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 12 of 18, 5 of 7 from 3 is a career high in points for him. He's going to have another kid to keep this going, I think.
How long are we going to credit? So here's my thing. I watched the Raptors so much last season. Yeah. I was obsessed with them, right? And Fred VanVleet has always been solid. And then he had a kid, and then everyone suddenly cared about what the Raptors were doing.
Well, he was struggling a little bit in the playoffs until he had that kid.
They weren't his matchups. And then you go against the Warriors and he's fantastic, but this is just the kind of player that he is. And he's in his fourth year? I think if anything, he's just going to continue improving and just be this guy.
Are you predicting a breakout year for Fred VanVleet?
My God. Let's just say yes, but I'm not predicting most improved or anything crazy like that. I don't think that he grabs enough of that attention or makes enough of that impact, but this is just who Fred VanVleet is. He's a good player. He's a good point guard. He's a great shooter. I think that we can expect a lot of this from him most nights.
Yeah. Kyle Lowry had 22 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, only 3 of 11 from 3. Not the greatest night for Kyle Lowry, but he hit the shots when it mattered. Hit him in overtime, and I thought he was actually huge in that overtime period. For the Pelicans, Brandon Ingram filling in for Zion in the starting lineup, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Thought he looked pretty good. I still don't like that they were running post-ups for him when he would get Kyle or Fred VanVleet on a switch. I just don't think that's in his game. But, you know, he looked fine, I thought.
And they'll work out those kinks. It was a first game for a young team, and I know that some of these guys have played together, but a lot of them haven't. And there was one, Jason Maples on Twitter pointed it out. There was a point in the first quarter, I think, where there was a 14-2 run, and Ingram touched the ball once, or he shot it once, and then he didn't touch the ball the rest of that time. Obviously, those are things that are not going to happen regularly. And my transition there is, I wanted to ask you, do you think Ingram is the clear best offensive player on this team when Zion is out? Like, is he your number one option guy?
The best offensive guy?
Yes.
I still think it's Drew Holiday. I think Drew is underrated.
In terms of who's going to go get you that bucket?
Right. I think he's underrated off the dribble. It's probably going to be Brandon Ingram, because if he gets the ball, I think the ball is going to stick a little bit. I mean, he took 19 shots tonight. I don't know how long that's going to last just from a minutes perspective, because that's not the kind of game that Alvin Gentry is going to want him to play. But they kind of need somebody to do that, as we saw tonight. I mean, I don't think that they performed better with him on the court, but they're still figuring things out. And so you can only go up from here. And I still think Brandon Ingram can be a good player in this league. I want to talk about Lonzo real quick. 8 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He actually sat a lot in the fourth quarter. So
what was the deal there? Because I was trying to find rationalization, because he sat him, for people that didn't watch the last bit of the fourth quarter. And did he really play in overtime very much?
Alvin Gentry is like a hot hand kind of guy, right? And I think Josh Hart was playing really well on both ends. And so he kept Josh Hart in. Lonzo did play some in overtime. But I thought he looked really confident, in particular attacking the basket. Didn't necessarily translate to the box score, but he was 2 for 3 on threes tonight, 2 for 2 from the line. And that free throw motion looks so much better than it did before. So, you know, hopefully he's turned things around from that standpoint. But it's exciting to see this guy healthy and able to run the floor. And he was responsible for setting the pace early on. Every time he got a rebound or an outlet pass, he was looking up the court and he was pushing the ball. So I thought that was really important for them. And I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more of this Lonzo as the season goes on.
Definitely.
A little bit of news around the league. It was announced Blake Griffin is going to be out until early November at the earliest, with soreness in his knee and hamstring. Not good news for the Pistons, who are hoping to make a playoff run. I don't know how they're going to tread water without their best player.
Well, it's the East, so I think that they'll be fine. You know, it's reductive, but November isn't that far away. If they have to kind of tread water a little bit, and, you know, Drummond and Derrick Rose are picking up the slack and they're figuring out where to get those points that Blake Griffin would have gotten them otherwise, I think that they can figure it out. Bummer for my fantasy team.
The important thing here.
The important. I'm so sorry. I'm just getting into fantasy. This is like top of mind for me.
Chinese state television did not air the NBA's opening night games on Tuesday, and the league streaming partner Tencent reduced its schedule and only showed the Lakers-Clippers game. You know, not really a lot to say there. I mean, other people we've kind of run this into the ground a little bit on this front, but it doesn't seem like this relationship's improving in the short term. And I know that the league is hoping that long term it thaws quite a bit, but as of opening night, nothing new to report. And in a little bit of fun news, apparently Dwayne Wade has joined TNT and Turner Sports. He's going to take on a creative content role at Bleacher Report and show up on NBA broadcasts. Nitz, do you think they should just put him in the booth?
Yes.
Little Dwayne Wade.
I love this guy. Put him everywhere. Yeah, make him like the new Stephen A. Smith of just being literally everywhere. He's smart. He's personable. Everybody loves him. He doesn't just say whatever. He gets the game on just a completely different level. Like, it's Dwayne Wade. and like such fun news. So good for TNT. I know that the network's battling for him. So I'm so excited. Get him with Shaq and Ernie and all those guys.
And now we're at the line of the night for the first night of the season. Pascal Siakam, 34 points, 18 rebounds. Anthony Davis, 25, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Danny Green, 28 points on 7 of 9 three-point shooting. Kawhi Leonard, 30 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Fred VanVleet, 34 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 5 of 7 from 3. Nitz, who was the most impressive guy to you?
What is this leaving out of Lou Will, guys? I was going to say Lou Will, but if I had to pick one of these guys...
Well, no, you can.
I'm going to say Lou Will, mainly because I went to bat that he's a Hall of Fame player on Twitter today, so I'm feeling real confident about that. But no, on a serious note, Fred VanVleet, I think, was just incredible, and his stat line speaks for itself.
Yeah, I'm going to say Danny Green only because...
In a loss?
It's in my contract. I'm sorry. I have to... I have to stand for Danny Green whenever possible. And he made me look really, really good tonight. That's going to be it for today's show. Don't forget about our other basketball shows across the Athletic Podcast Network. We just launched a ton of new shows, a bunch of team podcasts. Go and check them out on the app, on iTunes, anywhere you can listen to podcasts. Look out for a special podcast coming out of LA with some of our best beat writers covering the Lakers and Clippers, collaborating for a super duper recap of this game and the games that these two teams are going to have against each other going forward. That's going to be a lot of fun. We've got back to back with Basketball Buzz that just dropped yesterday. So if you want to hear us comment on MJ saying that Steph Curry is not a Hall of Famer and kind of preview the season, because you've still got time, you know, there's a bunch of games tonight. So, you know, go back, listen to Basketball Buds. I'll be doing Nerder She Wrote tomorrow, recapping all of tonight's games. And don't forget to check out Tampering with Sam Amick and Joe Varden, which is always informative. This week they had Sham Sharania. Check out Warriors Plus Minus, House of Strauss with Ethan Strauss, Raptors Reasonableist, Warriors All 82. And again, go check out all these new shows. They've got a lot of talent on these podcasts. Don't forget to set notifications if you're listening in the Athletic app. And if you're listening on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, you know, it pops up automatically. Thank you for waking up with us. Nitz, take us home.
Oh my God, I miss this so much. Ding, ding.